Christ is your bridegroom, and you are his bride. Amen. Hear the word of God from Ephesians 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands should love their wives. Dear friends in Christ, God is a romantic. And if you desire a happily ever after marriage, God's word tells you how you can have it. Today we're going to look at God's blueprint for a happy marriage. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Guys, do you remember when you started dating your wife and you would open her car door, and if it was raining, you would hold an umbrella for her while you got soaked? In fact, you would even carry her across a water puddle if necessary. But as time goes by in your marriage, the romance begins to fizzle. You no longer open your wife's door. You keep the umbrella for yourself and tell your wife they're on sale at Walmart. And instead of carrying her across the water puddle, you now tell her, "If you jump, I think you can make it." Paul gives us the blueprint for a happy marriage in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The Greek word for submit is hypotasso, which means to put another's needs ahead of your own needs. And if yours is not a happy marriage, it's usually because there's not enough hypotasso, submitting or putting another's needs ahead of your own needs, going on in your marriage. Today's text is extremist in a world where everyone is demanding their own rights. Civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, equal rights, abortion rights, my rights. Rather than taking up the cross and asking, "How can I love and serve my spouse and others as Jesus first loved and served me?" But here's the catch. God's blueprint for a happy marriage works, while our me-first marriages don't. Yes, it is hard to accomplish, because we love ourselves more than anyone else as a result of sin. As a result, you've got to put that side that loves you more than anyone else to death in repentance. And God's blueprint for a happy marriage isn't in vogue these days for those who only want to worship the person they see in front of a full-length mirror. But whether you like it or not, this is God's blueprint for a happy marriage, and it does work. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Put the needs of your spouse ahead of your own needs out of reverence for Christ, who submitted himself entirely, even unto death, in order to forgive and save us, make us his bride, and give us his happily ever after. Paul then speaks to the wives first. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in all things. The reason that many wives struggle with these words, and many husbands like them too much, is because both the husband and the wife have a wrong understanding of headship as God defines it. For those of you who are as old as I am, you probably remember the TV show All in the Family. In one episode, the head of the house, Archie Bunker, who would often quote from the Bible but would always mess it up, was arguing with his neighbor Maud, who was a liberated woman. So Archie defined the concept of biblical headship to Maud, as only Archie Bunker could do. Archie said, "The reason that God says the husband is the head of the wife is right there in Scripture. The Bible says that when God made the woman, he made her out of a rib, and everyone knows that a rib is a cheaper cut of meat." Let me assure you, ladies, that Archie Bunker is as wrong on biblical headship as anyone can be. Let me ask you this. Have you ever served on a committee that doesn't have a chairperson, where no one is finally accountable? What happens is that little or nothing gets done. Or have you ever seen a little league team with two head coaches? The coaches end up fighting in charge while the team becomes the bad news bears out on the field. In God's wisdom, the husband is to be the head of the team, called family, and the wife is to be the helper or advisor on the board of directors. We may not understand all the reasons why God gave the husband the role of head and the wife the role of helper, but we do know the main reason. Ephesians 5 tells us that our marriage, with the husband as the head and the wife as the helper, is to be a picture and a reminder of Christ as our bridegroom and head, and we as his beloved bride and helper. In other words, both roles, head and helper, reflect our marriage to Christ. In Ephesians 5, God gives the wife the role of helper. Remember Genesis 2, when God created Eve, he created her to be an etzer cognigno, which, as we learned last week, means a helper suitable for, an enabler fitted for. This is not a term of inferiority. There are many places in the Bible where the Lord calls himself our helper, and we know that the Lord is by no means inferior to us. The wife is not inferior by being the helper of the team called family, and the husband is not superior by being called the head of the team family. Both roles are equally important for a good marriage. Both roles of head and helper have blessings and burdens attached to them. It's when we see the role of head as being superior and one of power and supposedly having no burdens that it leads to the sin of tyrant husbands or rebel wives. The role of helper is a divinely given critical role for any marriage to succeed. Husbands desperately need the help, the enabling, and the resourcefulness of their wives in order to lead and love, serve, and sacrifice for the family. Remember, the role of the wife as helper was invented by God when he recognized it wasn't good for men to be alone, something we men prove over and over again. If you've ever seen the house of a husband, when his wife goes away for a week, the house is a disaster area. It's a hazmat zone. There's socks hanging from the ceiling fan. He washes his clothes by taking a dip in the swimming pool. The pets are ripping the furniture to pieces because they haven't been fed in days. The role of helper is not an inferior role. It is a critical role that God designed and gave to the wives, who are oftentimes better multitaskers by God's design, while husbands are better goal setters, and they achieve the goal against all odds. And as the wife is the support system of the team called family, she then helps her husband as his responsibility is to lead and to love, to provide and protect, to sacrifice and serve. And sadly, the world can't understand this. When we serve our spouses, rather than demand our way. That's where the real romance begins. The Lord wants wives to reclaim the gift, the value, and the importance of the role of helper, or we men are in serious trouble. Ephesians 5 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in all things. The church submits to Jesus as her head willingly and lovingly because her bridegroom's sacrificial and saving love leads her to love and serve her Savior in return. 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. Likewise, it is the wife's indispensable help and enabling love and multitasking and resourcefulness that equips and resources her husband to love and lead, serve and sacrifice, protect and provide, so the romance can sizzle. Remember when you were dating and you would do anything to serve or show your love for each other? What can I do for him to show him my love? What can I do for her to impress her? But then once we get married, we begin to say, how can my spouse make me happy? That's sin and the devil entering your marriage when you start to ask, how can my spouse make me happy? It's when spouses begin asking themselves, how can my husband or wife make me happy, that the couple finds the fire fizzling instead of sizzling, because our sinful selves want to be served rather than to serve, which negates God's blueprint for a happy marriage. Submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. And God's blueprint works when spouses put the sinful selves to death in repentance and put each other's needs ahead of their own. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, so that they could be his bride and live happily ever after. Wives, rather than asking, how can my husband please me? The high calling Jesus has given you is to ask yourself, how can I help, enable, resource, love, and support my husband to be the best husband he can be as he leads our team called family? Now let's get to the husbands. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, when is the last time you gave yourself up for your wife? When God's word says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, he is showing us that the role of the head of the family is not only to protect and provide for, but to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? He forgave her, he sacrificed for her, and he even laid down his life for her. Husbands need to ask, how can I love, forgive, and sacrificially serve my wife to make her the best that she can be on this team called family? It's the husband's role as head to initiate love, forgiveness, and sacrificial service. And trust me, guys, when you love, forgive, and serve your wife as your princess from God, she will respond with love for her prince. Why? Christ-centered love begets Christ-centered love. And when both spouses are seeking to love the other before themselves, that's where the romance sizzles. The role of head is not that of tyrant or dictator or boss or me Tarzan, you Jane, or you do what I say. The role of head is a great responsibility to lead by loving. The wife's role is to respond with help and love, so the husband is equipped to lead the team called family. Both spouses are to love and serve each other, but it's the husband's role to make sure that it happens. women, to try to be the head of your house is not only a sin against God, it dishonors your husband, and it ends up hurting you by placing burdens on you God never wanted you to bear. It's the husband's responsibility as head to serve and sacrifice, love and lead, provide and protect, and even lay down his life for the wife and the kids. Wives, don't try to take that role from your husbands, because many men will quickly relinquish their role as head and go fishing or watch Cardinals baseball while you, thinking it is a privilege to be the head of the family, then have to bear the burden of being the head of the family. Wives, you are not the head of the family. God has not given you that role, and you do not have the right to take it upon yourself. In fact, don't let your husbands get away with not being the head. Yes, there may be many times when you need to tell your husband to man up, but then you need to honor him as your head and follow him when he does. Husbands, you are, above all, to be the spiritual head of your family, and make sure that you give Jesus Christ to your family. Sadly, in most homes today, who's the spiritual leader? It's the moms, while the dads are too busy sleeping in, watching TV, and playing. One wife finally reached the end of her frustration level at the end of football season. Her husband watched football and ignored his wife every Sunday. Finally, the wife had had enough. She went into the room, turned off the TV, and said, "I want to know something. Which do you love more, me or football?" And there was dead silence for about 15 seconds. Finally, the husband looked feebly at his wife and said, "I love you more than hockey." So what's the husband's role as head supposed to look like? Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy and to present her to himself as a radiant church or a radiant bride without blemish, wrinkle, or defect." How is the head of the family, the husband, supposed to love his wife? Like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love his bride? He gave himself up for her. That is a tall order for any husband, because we are sinners. Maybe you've heard about the seven stages of the marriage cold. It goes like this. During the first year of marriage, if the wife even sniffles, her husband says, "Oh, my precious darling, I'm worried about you. Let's go to the doctor right now, turtle dove. Maybe a few days in the hospital will help you get over that." In the second year of marriage, the husband says, "Honey, I don't like the sound of that cough. I want you to go to bed right now, and I'll take care of everything." At year three, he says, "Maybe you better lie down for 20 minutes, honey." Year four, "Look, dear, after you feed the kids and wash the dishes, you might want to hit the sack." Year five, "If you hurry up, I think you can get some cough medicine at Walgreens before it closes." Year six, "Are you ever going to stop hacking? I'm trying to watch TV." And finally, year seven, "Watch which way you're aiming. I don't want to get pneumonia." Husbands, you don't have it in you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, husbands don't have it in them to love you as Christ loved the church. So where can you, husbands, get that strength? Only from Christ. Christ always loves his church. He always loves his bride. He always forgives his bride. He always serves his bride. And you were united with Christ in your baptism. And Christ lives in you, husbands and wives. Christ lives in you, husbands, as your Savior. Your baptism is a bottomless well of your bridegroom's love. Husbands, when you love your wife with a knight in shining armor love, instead of waking up some morning and looking at your wife and saying, "Egads, what was I thinking?" you will soon discover the most beautiful princess lying next to you as she reciprocates to you the love of her knight in shining armor, because Christ-centered love begets Christ-centered love. There will be times on this side of heaven when husbands and wives just can't agree. The husband has one opinion and his wife has another opinion. And no matter how hard they try, no matter how long they discuss, you just can't seem to resolve the difference. It's at those times when a decision has to be made that it is appropriate biblically for the wife to say, God has made you the head of this family, so I will submit to your decision and support you, even if I disagree with it. And as one wise pastor said, the wife can always say, I told you so. When we were not that perfect, lovable bride that we were supposed to be, Jesus didn't give up on us, mistreat us, abuse us, ignore us, give us the silent treatment, divorce us, throw dishes at us, have a headache. He died for us. He took us back. He forgave his bride. He remembers his bride's sins no more. Ephesians 5, he gave himself up for us to present us to himself as a radiant church, a radiant bride, without blemish or stain or wrinkle, but holy and blameless in his sight. Even though we did nothing to cause Christ to take us as his bride, and even though there was no earthly reason why he should have taken us as his bride, at the cross he took us as his bride. He paid the betrothal price or the dowry price to make us his bride with blood. In baptism, he embraced us as his bride. In the love letter of his word, he continues to woo us with his love. In the Lord's Supper, he kisses his bride as he touches our lips with his body. And he gives his bride pastors as a wedding present to remind her that she is forgiven and loved all the days of her life. Simply because he wanted us to be his bride, and to live happily and eternally ever after with him, enjoying the never-ending honeymoon in the paradise of God.